and welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, there is always more to life.
We're in the midst of the series, Be Still. And what's important for us to remember is that when we thought about this as a pastoral team, and we thought about all of the chaos in our world and what is around us, stillness isn't simply saying, I'm going to stop being busy. Stillness in the biblical sense is actually not even the goal of what is happening. And you're going to see that fleshed out in the 23rd Psalm. Stillness is the intentionality of stopping the treadmill of life to be present fully with God. And we best are able in those moments of stillness to connect deeply with God. But if, my friends, if you don't have something to guide you in the stillness, and then that this becomes simply a quiet time with no productive end. Our belief and conviction as your pastoral staff is that Scripture is your guide in stillness. It is in stopping the busyness and the chaos, the debates, the demonizing, the divisiveness of the world and all the stuff that you see, and spending time in Scripture in the intentionality of stillness that you hear that still, small voice of God. And the end is not the stillness. The goal is to live into the shalom, the peace of God. That Hebrew understanding of shalom, that God puts the pieces back together when they're torn apart. That shalom of God that Jesus speaks of when the Sea of Galilee is rough and they're in the boat. And he says, peace, be still. That kind of shalom of God that Jesus says to the disciples, my shalom, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you do I give to you, but I give you God's true shalom, God's peace. And so we're invited to lean into Scripture to be still. I hope that you are practicing the journaling process. Each week we've tried to come out of this series giving you a couple of questions to lean into and to listen to so that your spiritual life is a dialogue with God, not a monologue to God. That a dialogue is a conversation. And that's really what prayer is. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said that prayer is nothing more than exhaling our spirit and inhaling God's spirit. And so today we turn to a psalm that is probably the most familiar psalm that is known. And so as we looked at this, I realized that many times we like to look at other translations, and I don't know about you, but there are times when I've just got to go back to the old King James. And so I'm going to invite you to stand as you're able here in the sanctuary, stand at home. I'm going to invite you to follow along on the screen where you will find the King James Version of the 23rd Psalm. And since it's been such a long time since you've been able to be in the sanctuary, we're going to read this together. Let us together now proclaim the truth of God's Word in the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of God. For you and me, the people of God, thanks be to God. You may be seated, and as you are, let us pray together. May your spirit, O God, come and stand between me and your people so that the meditations of my heart, the pondering of our own souls together would be shaped, formed, and molded into the good news of your gospel, that in the intentionality of stillness we would hear what you would speak with us in joy. We would receive the place that we need to be corrected. We would be open to the ways in which you want to encourage us, and we would listen for the ways that you lead us in paths of your righteousness. And now, God, open our eyes and open our hearts to what you would speak to us this day. For we pray this in the name of Christ, we gather in the name of Christ, and we will depart in the name of Christ. And all of God's people did say, amen. In Wichita Falls, where I grew up, we had this really, really big mall. Not. It was big to me. It was Sykes Center Mall. It was kind of the only place that everybody would really gather together. But occasionally, as teenagers, I can remember we had this fun game we often would play. Maybe you did. In a large crowd of people, did you ever go out to some place and just stand in the middle and just look up? And then everybody would observe, how long did it take for the people walking around to look up? It's kind of odd that human nature is so deeply influenced by those circumstances around us. It's just part of who we are. This is a great parallel when we look at the fact that the Lord is our shepherd. That makes us God's sheep, the sheep of his pasture. We want to focus on verses 2 and 3 today in understanding through the lens of what it means to be a sheep. Now, this is what it would commonly look like as a shepherd and sheep in Israel around the time of Jesus, but also what it looks like today. If y'all have got that image, if you could put that image up of the sheep. That's not a lot of green pastures. That's not like being in Scotland, is it? That's pretty barren. And you often will see, in the middle of the picture, you'll often see a donkey. Here's an interesting fact. When shepherds in the Judean area around Jerusalem get their sheep to move around, they will always put a donkey in the lead because the donkey, as a beast of burden, will always find the most natural and least challenging path. And then if the shepherd happens to have a dog or something, they'll always be at the end. At the very least, the donkey is out front and the shepherd is behind. Now, when we describe that in the Holy Land, you can imagine the jokes that were issued there with the donkey being out front. But the reality is that when we think of shepherd and sheep, sometimes we think a lot of the lush pastures. But when we get to this passage that says that God maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside the still waters, this is the context in which that was written. That green pastures and still waters are an amazing oasis in the midst of life. Philip Keller says that there's a parallel to why we're called the sheep of God's pasture, because he proclaims that there are four things that sheep will not do. They will not lie down until four things are met. The shepherd has to address their fear, the friction, the flies, and the famine. I love the F's. He sort of alliterates that way. Because they're timid animals, sheep won't lay down if they're afraid. Because they're social animals, if there's lots of friction among the sheep, they're not going to lie down in green pastures. They won't lie down if there's parasites or flies or pests that are bothering them. And if finally, if they're hungry or the needs aren't met, they will not lie down. This word maketh in the Hebrew means the Lord gives me or puts me or sets me in a green pasture. Do you see the distinct parallel between sheep and us? That God sets us and puts us and makes us to lie down in a place that is lush and comfortable, but the fear, that internal mechanism about what's happening on the outside, keeps us from staying in that place. The friction in the world around us because we inadvertently or intentionally watch too much news or social media, and we can't still our mind, and we let the divisiveness, the demonization creep into us, and before we know it, we're deleting posts on social media we should have never put up. The pest. I don't know about you, but especially in this time, even before this time of COVID and masks and social distancing, it was so easy for me to get distracted from the place that God had put me because I was so focused on the pest around me. Now, there's no place better to illustrate this, whether it be COVID, pre, post, or during, than the city of Houston and trying to merge on the 59 at 8 o'clock in the morning or get on it coming home at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And while famine may be a graphic word, the reality is that the sheep will not stay in the place that God has that the shepherd has provided and put them if they feel like their needs aren't met and they get restless.
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. We will return to the sermon in a moment, but first, we would like to ask for you to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We believe God is doing some amazing things here at KUMC, and your feedback helps our church to reach new listeners that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Now, let's get back to the Word.
Sheep are just like you and just like me. The real question is, will we follow the shepherd or will we simply be a part of that mob mentality that sees someone looking up and follow? Now, you can Google this story I'm about to tell you. In 2005 in Istanbul, Turkey, there were a couple of shepherds that had 1,500 sheep, each valued at roughly $2,500 a sheep. And they went to breakfast and didn't pay close attention to their flock because there was a large cliff surrounding the sheep. But do you know what happened? One of those sheep decided to jump off the cliff. And then another sheep noticed it and didn't want to be left out. Before all was said and done, all 1,500 sheep leapt off the cliff. The first 450 leapt to their death. The remaining of them survived with minor injuries because the sheep that had leapt to their death sort of cushioned their fall. The whole flock went off the cliff because one sheep leapt. Now look, what's the thing that we say to our kids all the time? Well, everybody's doing it, and then what do you say as parents? Come on, you got your mask on, but let me hear it. Well, if everybody jumped off a building, would you too? And while that's sort of graphic and comical, the reality is what we face as being crafted and made by God is to choose where will our influence come from is where we make our decisions. Will we look at the biblical narrative and God's unfailing love and the way in which he calls us to be people set apart, or will we follow the ways of the world because we're full of fear, we don't like the friction, the pester out there, and we feel like our needs aren't met? Can you stay in that place? Can you be still? Can you still the treadmill and the busyness and the distractions of life and know that God has you in this place to be intentionally still and to be focused on God? You see, the grace of God seeks to break us out of the mob mentality of our world and wants us to focus on the way in which we're created in relationship to God. So verse 2 reminds us that we're made to lay down in green pastures and that God leads us beside the still waters. And the purpose of that is found in the second word of Psalm chapter 23, verse 3. Restore. Restore. God is calling to restore us in our souls. The word restore means to return or to turn back. It captures the same imagery and nuance of Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, when God breathed into his creation the breath of life. God breathes into us his restoration process. And the purpose of being still and letting God do the restoring is not so that we can get back on the treadmill and the busyness of life. I mean, folks, part of the gift of this tragic time is it gives us the opportunity, it forces us the opportunity to evaluate, why do we do what we do? Do we really just want to go back to the busyness? And while I know there are things we even mentioned this morning that we want to come back to the way it was, I long for the day I don't have to say from a distance, how are you? No more elbow bumps, no more fist bumps, just a good old-fashioned hug. I miss that, right? So there's some things that are coming back, but you know what? There's some things that I pray to God will never come back to the way it was. I pray that we'll have the opportunity to say, that wasn't a great way or a good way of doing it. This is the way we should. Look, your church collectively is a community of faith. We're having to go through this. We're having to ask from everything we did, what do we keep? What do we change? What do we say that season has come and it's been fruitful but is not going to be for the future? We're being forced into this place of evaluating and looking, and it's true for each of us. But the purpose of that is not so that each of us can figure out what we want to do, but to do what? He restores our soul for the purpose of leading us in paths of His righteousness, His right way of path. And when we're still and listen, we're able to do that. One thing that cannot change, one thing that will never change, no matter what the pandemic may look like, is we must have community. Whether it is in person, whether it is in Zoom, whether it is in small groups, we must have community. My friend Travis Bennett in Amarillo is preaching a sermon today entitled, Why We Need Community. And we need community because whenever we pray to God alone, God always agrees with us. But when we pray to God in community, when we live together and breathe in community, we recognize that this call to this sermon series is not to be apathetic couch potatoes for Jesus. That's not what we're saying. We're not saying be a couch potato. We're saying stop the busyness. Be intentionally still so you know what to do when you get back into the busyness of life. You are a human being, not a human doing. And the best way to know what to do is to be in the presence of God, to be in community, and to be able to discern when do you need to be still and when do you need to move? When do you need to speak? When do you need to listen? When do you need to reflect? When do you need to act? When has God called the church to take a step back? And in this season, where is the God calling the church to step forward and to do something in this world around us? My friends, we're sheep and we need a shepherd. In his book, An Olive Grove at the Edge of the World, Jared Gullion writes about the humorous experiences of a city boy from Detroit who chooses to buy a 500-acre farm in a remote section of New Zealand. He talks in a section of this book about cast sheep. A cast sheep is a sheep that is laid down and rolled to its side or back, and because of its wool and weight or being pregnant, if the sheep is not set aright by the shepherd, well, it can actually die. Gullion writes about the recommendation from his New Zealand neighbor, Harnish, how to address a cast sheep. He writes, I found a sheep lying on her side and she didn't look well at all. I had serious doubts about Harnish's clever plan. But I straddled that poor, sick sheep anyway. I tried to not pull on its fur and whatnot, he said, but eventually I resorted to grabbing fistfuls of wool and pulling her up the way Harnish had told me to. The sheep immediately pushed her legs down, broke free, and tried to run. Only after a few steps, she fell down again. Now look, when I read this, I thought, how is the so much like you and me? We just get God putting us on our feet, and we got it. I got it, God. And we take off, and two or three steps later, bam, we're right back down where we used to be, right? This is so applicable to you and me. So I walked over and straddled that pathetic creature a second time. And I pulled her up by her wool and I held on again. She broke free. She ran. She fell down again. How often does God surround us with people when we get back on our feet for issues of accountability and God's trying to hold on to us? God's trying to make us lay down in those green pastures and we're not going to have any bit of it, are we? With all of our being, we're going to break free and take off. And guess what happens? We fall. And we get in that cast position again. Julian writes, it seemed pointless. I felt like I was just torturing the poor animal, but I decided to try one more time. One more time. You know what the goodness of the grace of God is? God doesn't have a last time. He's going to pick you up. That's the great good news of the gospel. Julian says, I straddled her I've got sheep poop all over my pants. And don't you know the way that you do life sometimes put poops all over God's pants when he tries to set you up? In that time, something strange happened. She didn't struggle or try to run or cry out. She stood perfectly still as if then she finally understood I was there to help. I held on tight and I waited. It was ridiculous. There I was standing in a grassy paddock on New Zealand with sick poop-stained sheep between my legs. And in the end, I must have been there for a good 3 or 4 minutes before I finally let go. And the sheep didn't run. The sheep didn't fall. The sheep stood perfectly still beneath me. My friends, you and I are just like cast sheep in life. And the great good news of the gospel is that when God sets us up, and no sooner do our feet hit the ground than we take off and we just go right back to the way that we were, God's grace is still going to pursue us. Why do we need community? Because we need people to hold us accountable. We need people to say, where is your walk with Christ? Where are you struggling in your faithfulness? Where do you need to be the hands of Christ in this world? And the times we get it just about right and things start to go well and we break free, and after a little bit we fall back into the same patterns, the same reactivity of the world around us, and we find ourselves like a cast sheep in the pasture again. The great good news of the gospel is that God doesn't have a last time. He's going to find you. He's going to get a fistful of your woolly life. He's going to set you on your feet. It's your choice whether to stand firm below him in his presence or to try and break free and do it your own way. Be still, my friends. Be still when God finds you and sets you on your feet. In the shadow of his presence, find rest. Have you ever noticed, especially in Houston, but it's all over the state of Texas, along about mid-May, the most valued parking spot in every parking lot is where? In the shade. You knew it, right? You knew it. There's something inherently true in our souls that we know. We seek that place to be comforted. The world gives you false comforts. It provides you authentic replicas of the real thing. It's not real. The only place to find true comfort is to stand in the shadow of the shepherd when he finds you and sets you aright on your feet. And in the midst of life's journey, I close today with the beginning of this passage. Yea, though I what? Say it again. Yea, though I, you don't live there, folks. You don't live in the valley of the shadow of death. You walk through it. May God keep us walking so that when we see the world around us in its brokenness, when we're drawn into demonizing people we disagree with, we'll say, that's not us. We're the people of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And as messy as we are as God's sheep, we're the sheep that God has found and set aright. And we will be his witness in this world. Let us pray. God, we thank you that your grace never ceases to pursue us. That your love is always finding us when we drift because of our apathy, when we intentionally engage in behaviors that draw us further away from you, when we find ourselves only in a place of hurt and resentment, you still find us. God, thank you for always laying hold of us and setting us aright. Thank you for not giving up on us when we take off quickly and break free from your grasp. Help us to receive your healing hands of accountability in the voice, in the love of the people who are around us that help us to know what you are calling in each of our lives in Christ. God, just always remind us that we're going to walk through the valley of the shadows, but we are not going to live there. It's part of the journey. But the goal in all of this is that you would lead us in your path. God, thank you for that love. Thank you for community. Thank you for being our good and great shepherd. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people did say, Amen.